I'm going to use two very short scriptures today, actually three scriptures. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and you can put your finger in Ephesians 5:19. We are in a series called Dynamic Gratitude. This is our third part. As with all series that I do, there's so much in it that there's more to be said about gratitude, absolutely. But we're going to answer a couple different questions on our points today. Only two points today. I had to cut out the third point yesterday when I realized I was going to go on and on and on and add about 15 minutes for that last point. Now, this topic is going to challenge some of you in what you already think about this topic, all right? Or I hope it challenges you. For some of you, it'll just begin to make more sense. You'll go, oh, that makes better sense. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Your Bible might say in everything. Your Bible might say in all things. But we're going to use give thanks in all circumstances. So the first point is this, is what is all things? This is the shorter of the two points. What is all things? In all circumstances means in everything, in all of life circumstances, in everything that you experience, to give thanks to God. It means in cancer, it means in death, it means in loneliness, it means in fear, it means in the middle of addiction and the middle of your painful divorce. It means in all things. In the midst of your child being suspended, in the midst of your job loss, in the midst of your homelessness, it means in everything that you're experiencing to give thanks to God in all things. Give thanks in all things. And I'm here to tell you this morning, like everything that God requires, remember last week we learned that God requires us to give thanks in all things. It's the same requirement when he says abstain from sexual immorality. It's something that we can't do without him empowering us to do it. We can't love our neighbor without God loving our neighbor through us. We can't love our enemy without God working it in us. God asks us and requires us things of us that we cannot do, we cannot fulfill, except for the work of the cross done for us and then worked in us and then worked through us. That's the same when it means give thanks in all things. The moment you try to be thankful in all things on your own power is when you start kind of turning your good works and your good words into self-righteous acts. So I'm in this bad situation, I will act like I'm happy about it, I'll act like I'm thankful, I'll quote some scriptures, and what it does, it becomes an act, a religious act, an act of hypocrisy that puts a mask on that's not tapping into something really, really deep. And that's what we want to do when we talk about Thanksgiving and all things. So point number one is simple. What does in all things mean? Point number two is where there's going to be some controversy, where there's going to be maybe a little bit of confusion, and maybe some of the ways you've taught and practiced it and heard it has been opposite of what you've heard today. So I want you to think about what I'm saying and what the Apostle Paul is saying when we look at some of the epistles, okay? So the second question is going to answer. It's going to attempt to answer because you have to choose if you're going to let it be answered. Is gratitude, is thankfulness, is my gratitude in all things or for all things? Is my gratitude, does God require for me to be grateful in the middle of all circumstances or for everything? Okay? Now, I'm going to reread 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, in all your experiences, give thanks. In Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul writes, dear people of Tomball, okay, so he doesn't write dear people of Tomball. He says, y'all don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He's telling us, in the middle of all of those things, all those situations that you should worry about, all those situations where you are experiencing pain, all those memories that you have that hurt you, and all of those things that you're afraid of, he's telling you, don't be afraid, but don't bury your fear. He's telling you, don't worry, but he's not telling you to bottle it up and act like you're happy when it's still there doing some bad work on you. He's not asking you to fake anything. He's telling us to pray to ask, to be grateful, and to give over, to present our worries unto God. So I want to make this case that God's asking us to act in a certain way and to talk in a certain way that's dynamic gratitude, that the actions and words of thankfulness are attached to it. All right? And it's not just a matter of two small prepositions. How many of you knew that in and for was a prepositions? Who remembers, well, I'll just tell you what the whole definition is, anything a rabbit can do to a hill, right? Anything, right? So a rabbit can go in and over and under a hill, across a hill, through a hill, by a hill, on top of a hill. All of those things would be prepositions. I want you to think about these prepositions. You can be in trouble, but not for trouble, right? I'm in trouble today, but I'm not for trouble. I don't want trouble to happen. You can be in poor health, but not for poor health. So you can have poor health, but not go poor health is awesome. You can be in poverty, but not be for poverty. You can be in hunger or in pain or in sickness or in depression, but still not be for hunger, sickness, pain, or depression. You can be in the middle of adultery, but not be for adultery. Okay? So the little preposition is a big deal. You can be in a car accident, but not for car accidents. Are there bad things that happen that turn out for good? Absolutely, all the time. Of course, but that doesn't mean that those bad things were good or that we ought to be thankful for them. We're to be thankful in the middle of our circumstances, not necessarily for them. Okay, so I'm gonna continue on in that vein of these two prepositions of being thankful in the middle, but not necessarily for. If I'm supposed to be thankful for everything instead of in everything, then I would be having conversations like this. Your dad passed away? Awesome, I'm so glad he did. But we would not say that, would we? That would be ridiculous. Even saying it out loud is like almost offensive. But if we're thankful for death, death itself, not in death, not what death can produce because of the redemptive quality of Christ, then we have these odd things that we put on ourselves that we think that we have to say to be thankful for all things, but it's in all things. Your brother is on drugs? I'm so glad. Just go celebrate with dinner. Ridiculous, isn't it? But that's what we're saying we want people to do. You lost your job? I am so glad you did. Finally, something bad is happening to you. We wouldn't say that. Your wife cheated on you? Aren't you thankful that she did? Good things are going to come out of that. That's awesome. Of course good things can come out of it. Good things can come out of accidents. We've all heard of people, they had an accident, they had to go to the hospital, they had an x-ray, and they found cancer that they didn't even know they had. That's the redemptive quality of the power of the cross, okay? It's the redemptive, it's turning evil into good. And we have to believe and trust God that evil is being turned good, but we don't call evil good. This redemptive power of the cross, when you hear redemption, if you don't, yeah, some of you have already a context for that, but it means taking what's evil, what we do to ourselves, and we give ourselves to God, and through salvation there's redemption that means he turns it into good. So my story of being a high school dropout is redeemed, and I become a school administrator of a private parochial school. It's a funny story, isn't it? It doesn't seem possible to be this to become that, all right? Or I have this story of I was a drug addict, and now I'm helping people in recovery. I was poor and homeless. We heard some of these stories this summer. I was poor and homeless, and now I'm building a house of my dreams. We have a story. I was raped, and I didn't think, and I thought horrible things about myself when I was 16 and 17. And then God redeems it, and he takes it, and he makes it something beautiful and something good and something powerful. It's the redemptive nature of the cross that teaches us lessons in spite of our own stupid actions and in spite of the wickedness that comes our way. It's God utilizing the pain of a broken marriage. It's God utilizing the pain of a broken leg. I'm gonna tell you, it's not God breaking the leg. And our language often makes God out to be that person, that God is breaking the leg. As I was studying for this, and I was praying this morning, actually, I was thinking of the redemptive nature or the redemptive power of God in Victoria's story. Now, we can say I'm really, you know, Victoria's our adopted child. She just turned 8. We've had her since she was 3 months old. The CPS process took about 4 years. Just a whole bunch of legal wrangling, and it went all the way to the Texas Supreme Court. We were just on the outside of it. The state was actually fighting for us in a lot of different areas. And, you know, for us, it would have been ridiculous to be thankful to be thankful for this child that was born with drugs in her system. It would have been ridiculous for us to be thankful that the mom was a drug addict and the dad was in jail most of the time. It would have been ridiculous for us to be thankful that the home was so broken that the CPS wouldn't give the child to anybody else. It would have been ridiculous, all of those things, that the mother died of an overdose. And but with a redemptive power, so in celebrating in those things, and I had a little memory this morning of the pain of those 4 years of knowing, because you signed something that says as soon as CPS wants that child back, you give that child back. So you have that child that's their first birthday, then their second birthday, and their third birthday, and you're very aware with CPS visits, with all the things that you have to do, and the court dates, and the things that get turned around and changed, and all the hope and expectation, and so you have this this falseness that can come on you, but if you dig deep, you realize, I'm thankful for what God's doing in producing in me. I'm thankful for who he is to me, and that gives me that stability. But we forget that the redemptive nature of God takes all that is bad and makes it all that is good and beautiful and right. So we're thankful in all situations, not for all situations. Teaching that we are to be thankful for all things gives us a distorted view of God. It gives us a view of God as a bad father, as a mean father, as sort of a bully and a harsh teacher, someone that would break a leg to teach a lesson. How many of you, if somebody told you, you know what, my son over there, you know what, when he was 10 years old, he wouldn't obey me, and he kept running away down to grandma's house. You know what, I broke his leg, and I taught him a lesson. You'd think, you'd be like, oh no, I never want them to watch my kid. I don't, you would just think they're awful. But often we describe God as that kind of God. You would never teach your child a lesson by breaking their leg. You would redeem the breaking of the leg to teach a lesson, to have some value come out of it. How many of you would teach your best friend a lesson by killing his wife? You would be like, what? That's nuts. But we often put that on God, and that's not who God is. In Matthew 7:11, this is what Jesus says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, he's talking to us, you, even though you're evil, compared to God the Father, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Says also that God is the giver of all good things. Now, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he wrote this. This is our second scripture, Ephesians 5:19-20. Ephesians 5:19-20. So I hope you're clear on that. And I'm going to use some scripture that seems to contradict what I just said. But I want to show you how it doesn't contradict what I just said. Because often when we read scripture, we get clear. And then we go and we read something else, we're like, oh, now I'm unclear because that seems to contradict. But the longer we read Scripture, the longer we know God, the more we know that it's all pushing into one unity, unified thing of his story in our life, okay? So Ephesians 5:19-20, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And by the way, Paul is saying this while he's in prison. He's saying this while he's in prison, and it looks like there's not much hope for him. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You caught me, didn't you? There's a discrepancy in what I said. It says right there you're supposed to thank God in everything. But I want to tell you this. All things mean all things in all circumstances, in all situations, in all of your experiences, thank God. Everything in the scripture does not mean all things, okay? I want you to hear that. Everything in the scripture does not mean in all things. Here's an example that might help. See, I write a movie, a screenplay. I win Best Action Adventure Show of the Year. I don't know if it's the Grammys or the Emmys because I don't watch any of that. It's an Academy Award. That's what it is. I get an Academy Award and I go up there and all this great movie, all the applause dies down. And I say, I just want to thank Krisha for everything. Does that mean I want to thank her for writing the movie? Does that mean I want to thank her for Mexican food? Does that mean I want to thank her for the sunset and the sunrise and for me being born? No, what does it mean when I say I want to thank Krisha for everything? I want to thank her for all that she's done in the context of my life to allow me to be right here and be this person today. It's for everything that she has given to me and provided for me. So when we're talking in the scripture of always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is for everything that he's provided in the middle of all circumstances. Okay? We're called to thank God for everything he has given us in the midst of all things. We're called to thank God for everything he's given us in the midst of all things. We don't thank God for cancer, for disease, for rape, for poverty, for broken legs, for car accidents, for being punched in the face. We don't thank God for those things. God hates those things. God hates those things. In fact, he hates them so much that he sent his son down to earth to die on the cross so that we can be saved and he can redeem us. He hates things that break us, that cripple us physically, emotionally, mentally. He hates that we have experiences that we can't get out of our head. He thinks that we have divorces that we're still attached to. He hates that we have pain that keeps us from relating to him as dad and relating to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. He hates that. But he comes and he dies on the cross. He sends his son to die on the cross so that we can experience a newness and a freshness in the middle of all things. Because God gives man choice. God gives me choice to ruin my life. God gives me choice to ruin your life. And we see that in the news and we're shocked. But God gives me choice because in order for me to truly love God, to receive God, to believe in him and to receive him and to receive his love, I've got to have choice. So there will always be wickedness in the world as long as man has choice, which man will have choice until the end of time. So we're to be thankful in all things, but not for everything. And we should hate wickedness. We should hate those things that separate people. I want to give you an example that happened to me this last week. An example of in all circumstances for all things. In all things that he has given me. In all things that he is. So I got a ticket the other day for doing 42 miles an hour. It was along Cypress Wood. I thought I was going about 40. I know I always drive there. I thought it was a 35 mile an hour speed limit. When I got pulled over, what happens in your head the first thing? How can I get out of that? And I looked over and I don't have my wallet. I don't have my driver's license, which means I don't have an insurance card. And I thought, oh no, I don't have an insurance card or driver's license. I looked up in my little mirror thing and out my visor and out pops insurance card. And thankfully it says City Church Ministries. I'm like, yes, that's the ministry organization I'm a part of. He'll see I'm a good guy. He'll ask me a question. What do I do? I'll say, I'm a pastor. And I will get out of that ticket. The moment he walks up there, I know that's not going to happen. His name was Rashid, and he was not like, there was nothing. He never even broke past my window there. I never really saw him until I did this. He was doing everything like this. And you know when they go back, they get your, he says, do you have any picture ID? I had a Sam's card. I gave him my Sam's card, the insurance. It seems like forever. And I'm like going through, oh, I can't believe I get a ticket. It's going to be this much money. It's got to blah, blah, blah. It's so unfair I got a ticket. And I thought, how can I practice dynamic gratitude? So I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And I'm gonna give you an example of dynamic gratitude. And maybe you can apply this to your in all things right now. And I've cleaned it up, but this is basically what started going through my head. Father, I want to thank you for a car to drive, insurance, and the money to put gasoline in the car. I'm thankful for the technology that makes this car such a comfortable ride, as well as the infrastructure that puts gas stations, roads, and police officers in my neighborhood. I want to thank you for speed limits and the laws that protect me and my family every day, as well as for the men and women who enforce those laws. I am grateful that no one pulled me over yesterday when I was speeding. In fact, God, I want to acknowledge here and now that I speed every time I get in the car. And instead of focusing on just this one ticket in this small moment of time, God, I want to focus on you, on the thousands of times I've broken the law and not been ticketed. Amen. Can you pray that sort of prayer in your all things for everything he's given you? And you know what? This doesn't even begin to acknowledge who God is to me. The things that money can't buy, that money tries to buy, like peace and joy and happiness and relationships, that money can't buy. And it was interesting because when he came back, I could care less that I was getting a ticket. I calculated that if I drove in the last 10 years, I couldn't remember the last time I got a ticket. I know it was on 45 at 249, and I think that they actually forgave the ticket by the time I got to court. So it's been 10 years, so I'm like, that's 3,650 days at least that I've sped at least two or three or four times every day. That's a lot to speed and not get caught. And I don't speed like a lot, but I have this rule of thumb. I'll speed about 10% over the speed limit. So if the speed limit's 30, I'll probably go 40. If it's 50, I'll probably go 55 or 60. I'll always, even when I drove back to Dallas and back for our event up there a couple weeks ago, it's like 70, so I'll do like 79. And so I was so thankful. But if we could begin to practice gratitude that looks past what's happening right now, and it looks to everything else that God has given us, everything else that God has provided for us. You know, sometimes at our dinner table, we'll bow our heads and we'll start thanking God for, God, thank you for this fish and who caught it and the technology to bring it. But we don't think about those things, do we? For the guy who caught it, the boat captain, for the guy who transported it here, the guy who gutted it, cleaned it, froze it, packaged it, the guy who took it off the truck and who put it at HEB so I can pick it up and bring it home, to somebody who invented an oven that runs on gas and I don't have to go out to a wood-burning stove. And so we forget that. But once we start thinking that, everything in our heart kind of lifts up. Dynamic gratitude is in action and in word. It shifts everything in us. But when we begin to thank God then for who he is and everything he's done in those really deep ways, that's when it all begins to change. And that would be my fourth point, is that in all things we thank God for being him, for being a good God, a good father. So it doesn't matter if there's no circumstances around our circumstances that we can be thankful for. We trust him that he's good, that his plans for us are set, his plans for us are good, that the pain that happens here exists here in my body, in my mind, in my emotions, in my family dynamics. That pain is little to nothing compared to the beauty that I'm going to experience later on, that I can begin to experience now if I'll just look towards Jesus at the foot of the cross. And then I will thank God in all things. I went in today with a story about a violinist named Itzhak Perlman. And some of you will know who he is. I meant to have a picture up there. Perlman was born and at an early age, at 3 years old, wanted to play violin. He actually tried to get into some sort of training even at 3 years old, but he was too small, they said, to hold the violin. He contracted polio, which means he, for the rest of his life, he walked with the two crutches. And he's one of the premier violinists of our time. He's still alive today. At a symphony, they will call him in and he'll be the special guest. And all the symphony was seated, and Perlman gets on the stage, and everybody starts clapping and applauding, and then they stop, and then he has to walk all the way across the stage, and he sits down in his chair, and the conductor looks at him, they start, and within the first couple bars of the symphony, boom, one of his strings pops. And there's four strings on his violin, so he's left with three. Now, typically, you can say, I'm gonna do over. But he just waited a moment, and he pointed with his bow to the conductor and to start right where they were at. And everybody's going, how is he going to play an entire symphony and a solo with just three strings instead of four? But what he did, he began to organize all the notes in the music as the symphony played along with him. It said that he spontaneously rearranged the entire piece to play on his violin with only three of those four strings. It said that he played with the greatest passion and intensity they'd seen before, ever seen before. When it was all done, the audience sat for a moment stunned, and then they just exploded in clapping and applause and yelling and screaming for him because they knew they had just experienced something that was really, really amazing. And again, he lifts his bow up and he quiets everybody, and this is what it said that he said. You know, it's the artist's task to make beautiful music with what you have left. Now think about that. We've all of a sudden forgot that he's also a crippled person with not a normal ability. He can't walk on his own. And the violin. So the life you've been given, the life you have right now, and the tools you have right now, the instrument you have to play right now, whether it's retiree, whether it's mom or dad or son or daughter or grandparent or great-grandparent, it doesn't matter what role you have to play. It doesn't matter how much you don't have or how much you do have. It's our place to make beautiful music in the symphony of life that's around us. It's our place. Here at the Journey Church, in your home, and at your job. Dynamic gratitude makes it possible to engage with what you have and to make the most of what you have and to engage in the symphony of life with what you have. Dynamic gratitude isn't a feeling. Dynamic gratitude is a confidence in someone who has done something for you, who has done everything for you. It's that confidence, a knowing, a belief that then comes forth with your words and with your actions. Play your part in the symphony, whatever part you have, wherever you are, whatever you've been given, whatever's broken, you can make great music. I want you to bow your heads. So I want to challenge you, as you come into Thanksgiving this next week, come into Christmas season, to be thankful in all your circumstances. I don't mean religiously thankful. I don't mean making stuff up. I mean thankful the depth of your core for your salvation. I mean acting thankful, speaking thankfulness, utilizing dynamic gratitude in all your situations, in the life that you've been given this year, in the life that you've created this year, in the broken things that you have this year. Don't wait for the string to be replaced. Don't wait for your legs to be healed.